It's so good to be here with y'all this morning. It really is. It's a blessed day when we can get out and come into the house of the Lord and just spend time in His Word and spend time with one another. Masked, unmasked, whatever the case may be, I'm just glad we're together is the main thing. Because we will go back to the We just had a, hopefully everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Amen. Did everybody get enough turkey and stuff? I talked to Jan and Greg. I said, what about a plate? Do y'all need one? She said, no, I'm cooking an entire turkey for Greg, and I think he's going to eat all of it. I said, well, there you go. That's the spirit. I said, good luck with that. I said, goodness gracious. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 is where I want us to start this morning. And I titled today's message, I Thought You Had the Bread. It's about the best I could. It was kind of reminding me, because the more I read and the more I thought about it, Jesus feeds the 4,000. What a wonderful miracle He performed with what He had. And if there's one thing I could ask you to look out for today when you're reading these verses and when I'm talking, when I'm preaching, is to think about the word compassion and to think about what that word means to you at this time of year. As we've got, 5 weeks to Christmas, basically? Right at it, right? 4 to 5 weeks. And this year will be different. Just like I'm sure your Thanksgiving was a little different, okay? We had ours outside. We didn't have near as much family as we normally do, but some of them decided to come. It was a select few, and we had a nice time, you know, and made sure everybody felt good and everybody's okay. Yeah, we, you know, and we had outside. I fried our turkeys. I think I did a pretty good job on them. They turned out all right. Turned out really good, actually. I loved them. But we, as you step through this time of year, we know that our sign will change here today out front, and it'll say, Jesus, the true reason for the season. And we need to remember that. Look at Mark 8 with me. Jesus feeds the 4,000. And what a wonderful example Jesus is in our lives to this very day. Mark 8:1. During those days, another large crowd had gathered. And since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have came a long distance. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the compassion You show us, Lord. We find ourselves so many times, Lord, being the 4,000, Father God, where You feed us, Lord. I ask, God, that You be with us, Father God, during this time. Help us to remember how we're supposed to be, Father, towards others. Compassionate, Father God. Caring, Lord. To always be looking out for the better of our other man. Father, I ask, Lord, that You be with us as we look at Your Word this morning. Father, I ask, God, that You be with us as we look intently, as we study, Father God, and press on our hearts, Lord, what You would have us to take away from today. Father, we love You and we thank You. These things I ask in Your name. Amen. As we start this month off, guys, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit of a different thing than we've seen before. But I want each of us to be found with compassion in our hearts. To truly be searching it out. Searching it out. Looking for it daily. And all you have to do when I start talking about stuff like this is take your mind and put it out there. Open your eyes to what's around you. Pay attention to the little things. Now, I've been shown compassionate. I myself am a compassionate person. You know, I like to help others. If I see somebody, I always want to try to stop and help. I'll even say that a lot of times the people on the side of the road who might be asking for something or food or money or whatever the case may be, if I have something, I'm liable to give that dollar. I don't consider it again. I just know I did the act out of my heart, what I thought was right. Maybe that person could truly be hurting at that time, and maybe they just need that $1 to get something to eat. I've always thought about things like that. I've never taken it personal, like, oh, well, that person's going to buy drugs, or oh, that they're going to do this. I've never thought of it like that. I've always thought, well, God will work that out. That's God will handle that. That's not up for me. I can only control what I can control. Does that make sense? It does. We always want to be found in favor of God. And I've often considered myself too, driving down. What if that was Jesus in disguise? What if that was Jesus in disguise? What would he have said about me? I consider myself a very blessed person. What would Jesus have thought of? What if that, you know, those different things. I don't know if they run through your mind like they do mine, but it's just getting a different perspective on things. And we can see that anywhere. Do you know I was treated to lunch one day? Oh, I know what was funny. The lady, we finished up here, and lady did not know me for anything. And normally when I'm waiting on a download, I might sneak over there and I might grab me a bite of lunch. Their card machine was down and I didn't know it. And I got all the way up to the cash register and I did not have a single dime in cash on me. And you know what the lady did in front of me? She turned around and she said, I'll pay for his. And I said, are you serious? And she said, yeah, I don't mind helping you at all. She didn't know me. She wasn't in our congregation. I said, thank you so much. I mean, I honestly didn't know. And the lady said, I'm sorry. And she goes, it shouldn't be down, but for some reason we're having problems. It was one of those things. And I said, I can always bring it back next Sunday. And, you know, I said, or I can bring it back one day, whatever. But then it puts her in a situation too. But the lady turned and said, I've got it. I'll take care of you. I thought, thank you so much. Just that small act of compassion, that small, small act helped me out. Another time too, a gentleman who I did not know had compassion on one of my daughters when Martha Kate was in an accident. And he stayed right there with her until I got there. And he did not know her. He goes, I saw she was scared. And I said, thank you so much. You were like a guardian angel to me right now because you helped my daughter. And she was scared. And I was 15 minutes away. I was getting there, but I was not there at the present time. He said, I just thought I'd stay with her just in case. And I said, thank you so much. Those little things like that, those little things, let us be found with compassion in our hearts this year. This last month of this weird year that we've all had, let us be found with compassion in our hearts. Think about that. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. How many times has Jesus shown you compassion? get what he says right there in the next set of scriptures. And let's go along with it. Let's look at 4 through 13. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" And Jesus answered, "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied. So he told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And they did so. They also had a few small fish as well, and he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 people were present. And after he had sent them away, he got into the boat with the disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came right then and began to question Jesus to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed over to the other side. Why do you think Jesus sighed deeply right then? Was not the feeding of the 4,000 enough? You knew they knew about it. This is all happening right here in front of us. It's playing out. You knew they already knew everything that he had just done. Yet they still ask him, Are we much different? Do we ask for signs? I know, I hate to say it, guys, but before I stepped into the ministry, I asked for signs. I did. Now, Jesus had already known, already had my answer, but I still asked for signs because I was that unsure of myself. I wasn't unsure of Jesus. That's crazy. I was unsure of myself. My own doubts. It wasn't Jesus's. Those were my own insecurities, my own fears. I doubted. God's will is God's will. It will be done no matter what. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. But you know what? I never got a physical sign. There wasn't a cloud split, and you heard the Lord's voice say, "Michael, you're supposed to do this." That didn't happen. But Jesus still had compassion on me, and he gave me signs at different places. He gave me signs through y'all. He gave me signs through other friends that were in the ministry. He gave me signs when phone calls came at the right time, and when people said the right words, that I knew it wasn't them, it was the Holy Spirit working. It was the Holy Spirit working. My main message to you today is to always be on the lookout. Always be watching for the signs. Because what is God urging you to do during this time? Maybe to reach out to somebody, a family member, whatever the case. Maybe it's time you've wanted to do something special for that person that you haven't gotten them a gift before or anything like that. Whatever the case may be that God's laid on your heart, do it. Don't hesitate. Don't ever hesitate. And that's where we get into the most problems, the most things where we back out. We question ourselves. We don't question Jesus. Not like the Pharisees did right there. They're asking for another sign, and Jesus says, "I've already given it to you. You just saw it. Think about it. Now, let's go into the next little section right here. Look at what he says right here in 14. The yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. Man, I don't know what all their job task was, but it seemed like somebody would have remembered the bread, okay? Because they've just picked up 7 basketfuls left when he just fed the 4,000. So there wasn't a shortage of bread is what I'm getting at. But they forget, okay? Except for one loaf they had already had with them in the boat. So one loaf's in the boat laying there. Look at what Jesus says in 15. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, some of your Bibles might say yeast or leaven. Either one of those words can be used. Same thing. It's the and I'm not a big bread maker. Miss Bonnie could probably correct me on this, but one of them's like the makes it pop up, is what it does. But the yeast, the leaven right here, is actually used as a metaphor for corruption, is what it's doing, is what Jesus is telling me. But look at where the disciples go with this, though. So Jesus is telling them, watch out for the corruption of the Pharisees and that of Herod. It's be careful, they're out there. Always be ready, because he's just challenged them as what he's done. So now the disciples discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. They're way off point. They're thinking Jesus is upset with them because they've only got the one loaf of bread that they forgot to bring. It says, they discussed this with one another. It is because we have no bread. Look at what 17 says. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? They went totally around the world on it. But you know what's surprising right here? My daddy used to tell me when I was a boy, and especially when I wanted something, he used to tell me, quit beating around the bush. Y'all ever heard that saying? Quit beating around the bush. You're beating around the bush about it. What do you really want? Now, I don't know what that really looks like or where that saying came from. I've never beat around a bush, but apparently people did it back in the day. I don't know. But quit beating around the bush. Why didn't the disciples, instead of aware of their discussion, they're discussing one another, well, he said that's because we have no bread. Why didn't they just ask? Why didn't they just come right out and ask? Does that sound familiar with us? Why not a lot of times don't we just come right out and ask Jesus? Why do we hold back? Why do we continue asking for signs when we already know what God's called us to do? Why do we continue to do that? Now, you can tell that the disciples, they're human. They're just like me and you, okay? They just like me and you. Look at what Jesus tells them. And I don't think, you almost want to read these scriptures, and this was my first reaction. I want to read them like I'm upset. Do you still not see or understand? But I don't think it was like this at all. I think Jesus was having compassion on them right now. He's being kind. He's concerned about them. He's asking them, look, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? He's talking. There's 13 people in the boat at this time. 12 are worried about if they're going to have enough food to eat. And one's worried about the bread of life. Does that make sense right there? One's worried, Jesus is worried about the corruption and what Herod and the Pharisees could do. The other 12 are worried about, are we going to have enough to eat? I'm going to be hungry here in a couple of hours. I mean, I'm serious. That's what you get when you read the scriptures. That's what you're digging into. You're looking at the situation and what's actually going on. But he's having compassion. Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear? And look at what Jesus says right here. And don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember how Jesus is taking care of you? And don't you remember how Jesus was there with each trial you went through? It wasn't, Benny just told us about a story about hope. And don't you remember that story of what it's like when you go to that point and you feel like it's the end, but God's not done with you yet? And don't you, this is what Jesus is telling them. And don't you remember? Don't you remember what it was like when we backslide sometimes as Christians? He's talking to his disciples. But in essence, his word is speaking to us. And don't you remember all the things Jesus has done for you? And don't you remember that when God leads us to it, he will lead us through it? Don't you remember that? The passage just came a whole lot more personal now just by looking at Jesus' words. And don't you remember? That's something for each and every one of us in this room that you can answer yourself. And don't you remember, Michael, when you questioned me about what to do about the ministry? I had you. I knew that. It was my own insecurities. Don't ever let our own insecurities get in the way of what Jesus is telling us. Because if you're like me, you could talk yourself out of something in a hot minute. Something that he's laid on your heart that morning, by lunch, nope, done talk myself out. That ain't what I was supposed to do. Never was the case the whole time. Look at what he goes on to say. He explains it to him in 19. And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? Disciples were quick. 12, they replied. We picked up 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7, Lord. We picked up 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? God takes care of us. Amen. His people who have called on his name. The most important thing that we have in our lives, in this journey on this earth, is our relationship with Jesus. Don't you remember everything that he's done? 13 people in the boat. 12 are worried about the next time they're going to eat. And one's worried about what the corruption's going to do, what the Pharisees are going to do. When I told you earlier that I want you to rethink things this month, try it. Look for Jesus in all, in every situation in your life. Find him. Find him is what I want you to think about. It's amazing how we can pull from the scriptures and how we can see everything that Jesus did, all the miracles, our faith, and the disciples. The disciples are astounding to me. Everything that they went through, everything that they did. And to this day, we change as people. We do. We grow older. Hopefully we all grow wiser. Jesus never changes. Absolute. His word is right there with us the entire step. So as we get ready to do something different this year, something maybe a little different, because you already know that you've had a first for 2020, as I see all of you sitting here with masks. I never saw that coming. Never did. But yet here we are. And yet here we are. And don't you remember what Jesus did on the cross for us? Let's close. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful day that you have given us, God. And thank you, Lord, for your word, Father, that, Lord, we as your people, we don't need to beat around the bush, Father God. We need to ask you, Lord, exactly, Lord, what can we do for you, Father? We need to be asking you, God, how can I, Lord, help you? Lord, help us, Father, to be your hands and your feet. Lord, you show us all the compassion, Lord, that we need. That you're not scolding us, Lord, you're loving us. Lord, let us be who we need to be for you, Father. I pray, God, Lord, that as we look over these next few weeks, dear Lord, we will look at your life, Father God, and how you want us to be for you, Lord, to be found in your favor, Father God, to be found with you having compassion on us, leading us, guiding us, directing us in everything we say and everything we do. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. If you would.